The news is like the first draft of history. You don't know the whole truth right away. But because you support WSHU with your donations, we'll be back tomorrow and next week and next month, always, to bring you the facts on all the important stories. I'm WSHU reporter Davis Donovan. We're your source for trusted news. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
Senate Republicans in New York State say affordability will be one of their priorities during this year's legislative session. Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort says his conference hopes to work with the governor and Democrats in the legislature to lower costs, but there will be differences on how to get there.
I think they're principled differences, but they're important differences. You know, our conference does believe and will continue to advocate that one of the ways to make things more affordable for New Yorkers is to put more of their money back in their pockets.
Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins also mentioned affordability as a priority, including lowering utility bills and prices at the grocery store. This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. A Hartford protest turned chaotic last night with one person being hit by a car. Connecticut workers now have one of the highest minimum wages in the country. A Long Island school district ranks among some of the best when it comes to test scores. Plus, some New England scientists want you to rethink what's on your seafood plate. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Hartford police are investigating after a vehicle leaving a federal courthouse knocked down at least one person last night. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports the incident happened at a protest against Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
The protest was held after an ICE agent shot and killed a woman who was driving in Minnesota. The Department of Homeland Security has defended the action, saying Renee Good was using her vehicle as a weapon. State officials say she did not pose a threat. In Hartford on Thursday night, videos show a group of people crowding a vehicle leaving the courthouse and the vehicle knocking at least one over. On Friday, Governor Ned Lamont discouraged protesters from distracting from the issue at hand.
ICE took an open window and shot somebody in the head and shot her dead, and she was an innocent mother of three. I don't want anything to distract from that. You're doing just what President Trump says. If there's a demonstration here in Hartford, a couple of people do something they shouldn't do, all of a sudden that distracts.
In Connecticut, it's almost always illegal for law enforcement to shoot into a moving car. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The federal government announced this week it'll freeze billions of dollars in child care subsidies to New York State over fraud concerns. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says that'll hurt working parents. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
Gillibrand says the loss of funding will hurt daycare centers and other programs that parents rely on so they can go to work. And the federal government hasn't provided details on alleged fraud occurring in the state.
We all agree. Fraud is unacceptable and should be investigated. Those who misuse our tax dollars should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But without any substantial proof of fraud, the administration is choosing to rip funding away from thousands of child care providers and parents across our state.
Gillibrand, a Democrat, says the administration should immediately unfreeze the funds. Republican Congressman Mike Lawler of New York has also called for the funds to be restored immediately. He said in a statement that rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse must be done responsibly. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Connecticut workers have one of the highest minimum wages in the country after an increase to $16.94 an hour on January 1st. WSHU's Ebang Udama reports Governor Lamont says the increase is good for the state's economy.
Lamont used to own a small company in the cable industry. He says from his experience, higher wages are good for the economy.
I competed against companies that paid rock bottom, wages. I like the fact that we don't have to compete with each other by how little we pay each other, but by the quality of our work. So I think this is good for the Connecticut economy and good for the American Connecticut worker.
Dante Bartolomeo is the state's labor commissioner. She says 200,000 Connecticut workers would benefit from the increased minimum wage, which is now connected to the U.S. Department of Labor's Employment Cost Index.
Indexing the minimum wage is very important because this helps to offset inflation, and it helps from having the wage gap widen even further.
Connecticut's minimum wage is now the second highest in the country after Washington State's $17.13 an hour. New York has a split minimum wage, which is $17 in New York City, Long Island and Westchester County, and $16 an hour for the rest of the state. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
Marine scientists are pitching some very unconventional seafood. That story is coming up.
We've turned a page ahead on the calendar to 2026, and this week on Sunday Baroque, we're turning back the clock to music that was created in 1626 and 1726. You'll hear one of Johann Sebastian Bach's most beautiful motets and dances from 1626 by an amazingly talented violin player and an innovative composer in the first years of the Baroque era. It's on Sunday Baroque, Sunday morning at 7.
The U.S. House of Representatives passed a three-year extension of Affordable Care Act subsidies. 17 Republicans voted in favor. That includes Long Island Congressman Nick LaLota and Andrew Garbarino. The bill now heads to the Senate. The health care subsidies have been a major point of contention as their expiration brought increased prices starting this month. The Babylon Town Board approved price hikes for over 40 summertime activities that'll take effect for the upcoming season. The increases will affect beach access passes, marina docking fees, and athletic instruction. Entry fees for town pools and spray parks will stay the same. Connecticut is the fourth healthiest state in the country, according to a report by the nonprofit United Health Foundation. Connecticut got high marks for low premature death rates, low prevalence of non-medical drug use, and high immunization rates for kids. New York State ranked 25th for overall health. A school district on Long Island ranked among the best test scores in New York State this past year. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
In 2025, the Onondaga County School District was among the top 30 districts in New York for proficiency in math and English language arts. The ranking is based on the state's Department of Education's assessment of students, grades 3 through 8, from 2024 to 2025 school year. The Quag Union Free School District in Suffolk County on Long Island was ranked first in English language arts proficiency. The school district also tied with Briarcliff Manor in Westchester County and North Shore in Nassau County for the number one spot in math proficiency. Around 57% of students tested proficient in math last year and 53% in English language arts. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Have you ever eaten moon snails or neon flying squid? Chances are the answer is no, but as the New England News Collaborative's Amy Kolb-Noyce reports, some marine scientists are hoping that could change.
When was the last time you tried a new food? Something you've never tasted before. That's what Captain Jack Morris was doing when I approached him in a buffet line at a Fisheries Innovation and Technology Expo at Moby Dick Brewing Company in New Bedford. I asked him what he was trying.
The squid, I'm kind of working my way around, but no, it's good. Excellent, really.
The squid Morris was tasting is not the kind you'd find at your favorite fishmonger or offered up as calamari at a local restaurant, at least not yet. Morris was trying out various preparations of neon flying squid, including a calamari dish.
The fried squid, I'm going to grab a couple of them. I'm sure they're good, too.
And they were. Neon flying squid tastes like the squid we're used to being served, but they're a much bigger animal that lives out in the deep ocean. The expo was put on by the Coonamesset Farm Foundation, a research organization based in East Falmouth. CFF scientists believe neon flying squid can be a profitable new catch for scallop fishermen, whose boats are sitting idle much of the year due to strict scalloping regulations. The foundation is also trying to create a market for species that prey on bivalves, especially scallops, which have dwindled in numbers. The top of their list is the moon snail, which is a common bycatch in existing fisheries. Ron Smolowitz is founder and a current board member of the foundation. He says by developing a market and fishery for predators, they hope to help the scallops rebound.
Moon snails, sea stars, and crabs are major predators of scallops, and their abundance has exploded. And because there's no fishery on them, there's no control, so the ecosystem is out of whack.
While we were talking, Smolowitz was sampling neon flying squid ceviche.
Oh, this is really good. This is the future of New England.
Moon snails were also on the menu. They can grow as big as a softball inside their moon-colored shells, and they can be quite chewy. At Moby Dick, the chef incorporated them into a tasty bohemian chowder along with bacon, celery, onions, and carrots. Andrew Corso is a CFF research biologist working on developing a moon snail fishery.
You have this predator that's eating lots of commercial bivalves like clams, mussels, potentially scallops, and something that's easily caught. So it's really just kind of connecting the dots and figuring out, is anyone interested in actually consuming this?
To answer that question, Corso is putting moon snails in the hands of local chefs to see if they can create a market demand. He's also working with fish processors to identify ways to tenderize the snails.
In these types of downturns in profitability through sea scallops, I think that there's a real drive from the fishery to try and come up with ways to capitalize on whether it's bycatch like a moon snail or making an investment into something like neon flying squid to try and expand what they're able to fish for.
With neon flying squid, creating a market isn't the biggest challenge. In fact, CFF has already identified a buyer in Hokkaido, Japan, where the market already exists. Ryan Munnelly is the research biologist in charge of CFF's neon flying squid project.
Establishing a fishery would depend on export, and to get that higher value, squid aren't perceived as a high market item currently in the U.S., so we wouldn't want to go through all this effort to, you know, be getting 50 cents to a dollar a pound for these, like other squid species.
But Munnelly says the Japanese processor is offered to pay $4.60 per pound for high-quality neon flying squid. The bigger challenges for this fishery are the upfront investment in specialized fishing equipment and having to go much farther offshore to find the catch, as Munnelly explains.
For our exploratory trip, we fished off-shelf between 600 and 3,000 meters deep, well beyond where even the captain that we were working with had ever been.
And going after the neon flying squid means rigging boats with specialized machinery, lights, and a parachute sea anchor to hold the boat in place. It's a significant investment, and Munnelly says they're hoping the project can attract some public funding.
Even relative to other fisheries, you know, re-rigging of vessels, this is a really particularly large investment with a potentially equal or larger return for the state, having the Port of New Bedford and having all these large vessels that are now going to be potentially idle.
And about that name?
They're called flying squid because they do breach the surface like a flying fish to escape predators.
Munnelly says neon flying squid can turn several colors, although not any you'd typically think of as neon. But they do have an orange stripe down the middle that comes and goes.
For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Amy Kolb-Noyes.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. And join me tomorrow, January 10th, on the radio, 91.1 FM, for the After All Things weekly recap. Listen at 6 p.m. after All Things Considered. And don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram at WSHU Public Radio. Looking forward to connecting on there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day and a wonderful weekend.